Hello, everyone. Welcome to Aussie's Take on Everything. I'm K-Dog.
And I'm Jay.
And oh my God, it has been a week. It has been a long week. And the amount of things that have happened that have just completely changed the face of WWE.
100%.
Jesus. 100%. Should we go through to the most shocking first?
Of course. We have to start, right?
Okay.
Randy Orton's return. Oh, sorry.
Our truth is back,
yeah.
The return of CM Punk.
Wow.
Jesus. Like, it was sort of shocking, but not. Because, you know, it's been theorized for so long that he was returning in Survivor Series.
Yeah. But to be fair, like, I remember years ago it was theorized. Before AEW was a thing, mm-hmm. he wasn't even wrestling. He was after his UFC thing, and everyone thought, oh, he's going to come back.
Yeah.
But he didn't. So, like, mm-hmm. there was always the it's always been theorized that he's going to come back, but he never has. So the fact mm-hmm. that he actually did,
mm-hmm.
that's the most shocking part.
Like he said, like he tweeted, like Triple H tweeted, hell froze over.
Yeah, but do you know that he got that from the Bret Hart promo?
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, Bret Hart said that. When did he say that? I think when he came back? No, I don't know when he said it. He had a promo and he said, well, it looks like hell froze over.
Yeah.
And he said the exact same thing, the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like hell froze over. Yeah.
It was crazy.
It is crazy. If you really think about it and deep it, like the issue is he didn't want to work with Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, like, not the only issue, but that was
one of the issues. Yeah.
And now that he's back working under Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
But like he said in his promo, we don't know how real it is, but he said that he's changed and he's grown and mm-hmm. that he's happy to be back. And he said home. Mm-hmm. A lot of AEW fans found that cringy.
Of course they found it cringy. He went from AEW to WWE.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, I you know, it is what it is. Like, I know a lot of people, like, I saw a lot of these some people were calling the promo he did on Raw. I know we've gone from Survivor Series to Raw, but we've already started talking about the promo, so let's go into it. They were calling it like subpar. People had already given up on the return of Punk because of the promo. I thought it was delivered fine.
Yeah.
He hit the notes that he needed to hit. He hit the notes with the crowd, with the whole, you know, you've been chanting my name for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
For 10 whole years, you never forgot about me and all that, even though I wanted to forget about me.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. It hit home. It hit notes that he wanted to hit. You know, he brought up that everyone was happy that I returned, sort of, but not really. Some of them don't want me here. But
yeah,
we go forward. You know, it hits the notes it needs to.
Yeah, but I think people were expecting a pipe bomb 2.0, and they didn't get that. So that's what I think. They're expecting too much, I think, from the get-go.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they were expecting, because last major promo he did in WWE was that, like, major mm-hmm. one, like the last thing, but, like, mm-hmm. And that wasn't that. And the promos that he did in the AEW were, like, what he could say what every wanted and had as much time as he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like those.
No.
So they thought it was a bit underwhelming, and I can understand mm-hmm. why they'd think that, because of the stuff mm-hmm. that he can deliver. But for the first promo back, I think it's fine.
Yeah, same. I agree.
Like you said, it hit all the notes that he needed to hit, but, like, it wasn't anything groundbreaking. Like, if you didn't watch Raw and didn't see that, you wouldn't have missed much. Like, it wasn't that. True. It's crazy. 10 years. It's been 10 years. It's been on Raw, but mm-hmm. at the same time, it's like you didn't miss a lot. Like,
mm-hmm.
but it was good. It's good to see him back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the fence with CM Punk. I am worried that he's gonna revert back to his old antics backstage.
Yeah. There is always that.
But he's good. He's good for business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main thing, I think. It's good for business.
That's the main thing. And, I mean, all the talk with Seth Rollins and then Drew McIntyre, it's like, yeah, I think it's more of a work. Like you, like when we messaged back and forth about this privately, it was, yeah, it's like Seth is not unprofessional. He's not an unprofessional guy. No. So
Seth wouldn't do that in front of the crowd, like react that way, unless it was a work. Because look, CM Punk and Seth Rollins don't have any physical beef, right? They don't have any reason. Seth said in an interview ages ago, like years ago, that Punk is a cancer. And he doesn't want him back. Mm-hmm. And that's it. There's been nothing else. Punk's never said anything about Seth. Seth's never said anything else about Punk. There's no personal stuff. There's no scuffle backstage or anything. It's all just from that. Mm-hmm. But keep in mind, Seth Rollins did have physical beef with Matt Riddle, but they worked together.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no altercation like that kind of stuff. It was all a work. So it's the same thing again. Like, why would he change when there's no actual physical beef when there was before? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely 100% a work. And if you got worked, you got worked.
Exactly.
And the Drew McIntyre thing, that was all a work as well. Plus
he left. Punk showed up.
Yeah, he did. But there's one thing that people don't, I think some people don't realize, and you might be one of those, is that Triple H brought CM Punk into a room when they were having the meeting for the War Games match. So everybody involved, including Rhea Ripley, were in a room having a meeting, and he brought Punk in. So they all knew 20 minutes before the War Games match.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone's reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Were old reactions because Punk walked into the room 20 minutes before the match started.
Yeah.
They all knew. Everyone that was in that match knew, including Rhea because she was part of it. She knew as well. Randy, they all knew. So, like, any reaction that you got, like Randy sitting down on the chair and Drew walking out and stuff, it's all part of it because, like, all they prepared. Knew. They knew ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. All prepared.
And plus, if you got Seth acting out like that and being held back, why is he being held back by Michael Cole and Corey Graves and not security, not by the referees? It's definitely a work.
Mm-hmm.
But they wouldn't be stood there. That's not where they go and stand after. Like, they don't do that.
No.
It's definitely work. Some people don't like him being there, which is fair enough because not everyone has to like everyone. People go to work. There's colleagues you don't like, but you work with them because, you know, you have to. So like it's the same thing. You don't have to be best friends, but like it's all work anyway. It's good though. I'm glad they're doing it that way because they didn't show it on TV, and then Triple H knew that people would pick up on it and it will go viral. Yeah. It will go viral. If that was shown at the end of the show, everyone would know. Oh, it's just the work. But because they didn't show it at all, and he knew that people would film it, he knew that people there would film Seth's reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's gonna go viral, and it did. It went fucking viral.
Mm-hmm.
That clip of Seth's been everywhere.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's insane. Hellfire is over.
I think we're going to get Punk and Rollins at WrestleMania. I think that's where we're going to head to.
I have to agree.
I think that's where we're going to head to. Yeah. I think we're going to get the two main events, night one, Seth and Punk, and then night two, Cody and Roman.
Yeah. There's already speculation on who's going to win the Rumble. I'm going to say it's going to be Cody. So that way he can challenge who he wants to challenge.
Yeah, but at the same time, keep in mind that on SmackDown last week, he just randomly showed up and attacked the Bloodline. So he's already got that in because he's already started to work with them again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he made the save on LA Knight. That might have been not last week, the week before, but it was recently. Like, the last few weeks, he made the save on LA Knight from getting beat up and stuff. So, there's already an in there, so he might not need to win it. Does Punk win it? Does Punk come back and win the Rumble?
Yeah, does he?
Get his WrestleMania main event that he
wanted. He gets the Rumble win, and he gets the WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, could happen. Could happen. Could be part of the bargaining to get him back.
Interesting. All right, so we go from the end of Survivor Series back all the way to the start.
Yeah.
The women's War Games match.
Mm.
All I've got to say is Io is fucking insane.
Io is Miss War Games. Like, she just is. She's been in them all. You gotta remember that too. She's been in them all.
It was like watching a Jackass stunt.
Yeah, but the thing is, right? The thing is, everyone's reaction to this, her putting a trash can on and doing a crossbody, was like, that's insane. She did it 2 years ago in the NXT one. The exact same spot.
You're right.
The exact same spot. She did the exact same thing. I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, but it was in NXT. It was in NXT's one. She did the exact same spot. Trash can on the head, dived in. Mm-hmm.
It's still a good visual, though. It's still insane.
It is insane. She is crazy. She's absolutely crazy. Mm. That match wasn't too bad. I was expecting it to be.
I enjoyed it.
What I was expecting, actually.
I didn't know what to expect. So it's like, just go in. Let's see what we happens.
I thought Charlotte would stink it up, but she didn't do too badly. That moonsault looked good in the air, but the landing was awful.
Yeah, in the air, it looked perfect. And then she landed, and it sort of like fucking her shoulder went into someone. Went into Bailey as it went down. It's like, look like a good landing.
Her thigh or knee landed on, I think, Io's shoulder or shoulder blade, like it landed across that area. So I think if you're going to pick apart like Charlotte's moonsault, I know exactly what the issue is. She over rotates too early.
Yes.
Even when she does it normally, she lands on her stomach. She doesn't. She lands on her like shins first because she over rotates.
I've got to ask this. Does she do a better job at the corkscrew than she does the normal?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of course. Because what it is if think of it this way: if I throw you something and say, "Do not catch it," I do not drop it, right? Catch it, do not drop it. And if I throw it to you really high in the air, you got time to think about it. You're more likely to drop it because you got time to think about it. With the corkscrew moonsault, she hasn't got time to get up there and then flip and then kind of overthink it in the air. She has to kind of just go, so she has less time in the air to overthink it. She's got to think about the rotation. Mm-hmm. But when she's in the air, when she does it to the outside or even on the inside, when she does a moonsault, she over-rotates. She has too much time to think about it in the air, and her feet end up coming back down before she hits the ground. Mm-hmm. So that's why when she does it to the outside, you look at someone like a Lita or an EO or anyone, Pete Dunne, anyone that does a moonsault to the outside, when they hit, they're still flat, like vertical. I mean, they're horizontal to the ground when they connect. Charlotte is vertical. She over rotates. She lands on her feet pretty much. Mm-hmm. Which, if you look at anyone else, that moonsaults doesn't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So when she did it off the cage, it was like, you know, she should have stayed in the air. She should have moonsaulted slower, like in the air, like took her time because she had so far to go down. She didn't need to. She was practically standing vertical on the moonsault by the time she got to the top rope. From the cage, and then she just went straight down from there. So, but that's just the way she does it. But like in the match itself, she didn't do too badly. I think her timing wasn't too bad. Wasn't too many fuck ups in the match for her, which is surprising because she's usually does a lot of those things. But
yeah.
She did all right. The match itself was good. I didn't think that Damage Control would lose, but I kind of did at the same time. Like I knew Bailey would take that loss.
Yeah, I was thinking like, okay, Damage Control should win this. It's like, wait, there's Charlotte and there's Bianca. Yeah, they're probably not going to win.
Well, there's Becky too in that. Don't forget that.
Yeah, Becky as well.
But it doesn't matter. There's a new faction. This is their first match together, and they lost. Should have been a win, but I know why, because they're gonna turn on Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna turn on Bailey at soon. Mm-hmm. Kick her out because they're going to say like it's her fault. Fault that
of course
they lost. You know,
it's
going to
be
interesting
with fuck.
Dakota Kai.
What's her involvement going to be with the group? I know she's still injured.
She is, but apparently from what I've heard, she's supposed to be cleared around January.
Okay.
But this is my prediction for the story, is that they'll kick Bailey out, but Dakota will stay as the default kind of mouthpiece leader of the group kind of thing because, you know, she can speak English and she can speak Japanese, so it works.
I just get the thought of fucking Io and Asuka just yelling at each other in Japanese. It's just hilarious.
I know. I love it.
It's awesome.
I love it too. But I think that's what's going to happen. Bailey might be the one that wins the Rumble, you know. Bailey wins the Rumble. She's never won one before. Bailey wins the Rumble. She's had a great year, a great 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't won anything in particular, and she hasn't done anything noteworthy, but she's been solid all year. She's been putting people over. I think it's time for her to win the Rumble. It would make sense too because she'd be a new face, just turn face after they attack her. And then she'll go after Io at Mania. It'll be Bailey versus Io for the title.
Yeah.
At Mania.
It's definitely not the turn like the turn that they were expecting. Like we would be expecting. We would be expecting, oh, when is Bailey going to turn on Io and cost her the title?
Yeah, it's you not. Know? It's the other way around. Yeah, we all predicted that from like get go. But as soon as Io won the title, Bailey's going to be jealous and all this kind of stuff. But and she was, but it didn't happen that way.
Nope.
But Bailey's been left out of things and.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we don't want you to come out to ringside. And then she did come out, and then she cost her the match. Like, yeah, it's yeah, she's gonna. It was shaping up that way when they were saying that Bayley was the MVP of the War Games match. They're trying to talk, talk about her in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of get plant the seed of her being a face again. I don't think she'll be the hugger character again. She'll be the same character she is, but she'll just be face.
It'll be a face variation of the character she is now.
Yeah, 100%. But I got a feeling she'll win the Rumble. I think we're going to get Punk and Bayley, the two winners. That's my prediction. I don't think Cody needs to win it to get to where the story needs to go. You don't need to.
True.
Plus, I don't see. Depends on which route they go. Then, if they're going to have an Elimination Chamber match to like. They're obviously not going to have Roman put the title on the line in an Elimination Chamber match. So what they'll probably do is they'll probably have a number one contenders one. And I don't see Punk being in one of those this early. No. I see Cody being in one of those and maybe winning that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll either earn it that way or they won't do one and he'll just get a shot because he's in a rivalry with him.
I mean, I already see the matchup, basically. Yeah, I can see who's already in that match.
What, the Elimination Chamber one?
The Elimination Chamber.
For the WWE Universal Championship? Like, not for the title, but for the number one contenders?
Number one contenders.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just have this feeling. It's going to be like Cody, Randy Orton, LA Knight,
yeah.
Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso to play defense. So stop anyone from becoming number one contender.
You still need one more.
That's the only thing. I'm one out.
So I just had a thought. Maybe not. Maybe Cody does win the Rumble because I'm thinking Elimination Chamber is in Australia. I'm thinking it might be a number one contenders for the World Heavyweight, but also might be for the World Heavyweight title. I see Bronson Reed being in one of the.
He definitely got to be. Oh, it doesn't got to be, but it would be good if he was.
It makes sense if he was because he's that kind of guy, and it makes sense for him to be in the match. Plus, it's in Australia.
Do we have an Intercontinental Championship Elimination Chamber?
We could. It could be a way to get the title off Gunther without actually pinning him. Oh no, he's got to be pinned. He's got to be pinned anyway to be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think it's the time. I think that if it's only the time for Gunther to lose it. If he's going to lose the title, he has to lose it at the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has to win the Rumble, I feel.
And
go after Seth. I think it's the only way. So now anyway. So like if he's not going to lose it, if that's not going to happen, I don't see him losing until Mania. He might lose it at Mania or after Mania, but he's not going to lose it before. He won't lose it at Elimination Chamber. It makes no sense. Not unless he wins the Rumble as the champion and then ends up losing the title.
Yeah, but then that screws up the whole CM Punk and Cody Rhodes plans. So, exactly. Yeah,
but they might not be the plans. But then we might be overlooking that shit.
True.
Who knows? But yeah, I don't see it yet. But I don't know. But I think that
I mean, Gunther and and Miz had a surprising Miz put on a pretty good performance in that match against Gunther.
I think it's Gunther is like this generation's Shawn Michaels in a sense that no matter who gets in the ring with him, makes him look good. Miz is good anyway. Like, he's always been solid. Uh-huh. Like, he's not fantastic, but he's not bad. But to get in there with him, it makes everyone look good. I think I could get in the ring with Gunther and he'd make me look good. So.
Yeah, but this was a little bit – I feel this was a little bit more not something – I don't know if Gunther's used to a more of the storytelling type match. And that definitely had that not. Feel.
Yeah, it's probably not, but he still can do it, which is not surprising, but it's good that he can do it.
That's what's good about having Gunther in there with the Miz. So when he is in the main event type picture, he's used to those storytelling type matches.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I think it's probably a setup for him to be a main event guy. That's why they put him in with The Miz.
Yeah, to see how he goes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it really worked also to show off that Miz could do, you know, show Gunther that, yeah, I will fight.
Yeah. I think The Miz is whoever came up with the idea, I'm guessing Triple H, to have The Miz as a face but keep the same character is the right move, because
oh, absolutely.
Face Miz before has been awful. Like every time Miz is a face, it's awful. Like he's so bad.
Even it's like, I don't know what it is. We just, even though they tried to do the whole sympathy angle with Shane McMahon, and it fell flat.
Yeah, it didn't work. Because it's like they try to do like the sympathetic baby face with him, and it doesn't work with him. He needs to be the Johnny Cage, right? He can be bad Johnny Cage and good Johnny Cage. It's still the same person. So it's the same thing. You need to have Miz be Miz. He doesn't need to change his whole personality because he's a good guy now.
Mm-hmm.
So for him using the low blow and all that kind of stuff, that's Miz stuff. That's typical Miz stuff, and it works for him. So why change it?
Yeah, exactly.
When he wins the match on Raw and he uses the ropes, you're like, okay, they're cheering that.
Mm-hmm.
But like he did cheat, but it's like it's still The Miz. Like it's just the way The Miz is. Like that's his moveset, you know.
Again, it just goes. It's not the same sort of thing, but it goes back to like something like Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah.
Lightning steel, and it worked as a face as well. So
it'd be like if Roman, if they decided to turn Roman face, and they went, "No, you're going to drop the tribal chief gimmick. Now you're going back to the big dog because you're a face." Makes no sense.
Yeah,
like he's still the same person, but now he's fighting. He's fighting the heels instead of the faces. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't really make that much of a difference. You shouldn't have to change character fully. I think that's a very 90s way of looking at it, like the way that it was done in the 90s. Like if you're a good guy, you have to fully change your character.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a heel and act like that. Like you can, you actually can. So it keeps the wrestler's characters, and it's not like just a whole 180 in like, oh, your character is different now. Like I could see Gunther being a face and acting the same way.
Yeah.
They're just doing it against the faces instead of the heels. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, the heels instead of the faces. But but it works. But yeah, so I think Bayley's gonna win the Rumble. There's one thing I wanted to mention. There's a lot of been because speaking of Bayley in the War Games match and stuff, makes me think of Kyrie, and there's been a lot of talk at the moment about Kyrie, and I don't know if you picked up on any of it or not, but there's been a lot of talk like recently about Kyrie and not knowing how to sell or like acting like wrestling off lately.
Yeah.
But I think there's one thing that happened, and on this week's SmackDown,
I was gonna ask about that, it was
Kyrie and Bianca, and you could see Bianca getting incredibly frustrated in the match, to the point where she started to body slam her a little bit harder than she normally would. And you could even see her telling her to get up, like she's telling her to hurry up and get up. But I think that like there's been a few instances with this in the last year with Bianca, and I remember it with Asuka, but I remember it with there's someone else that I remember it with as well. Earlier in the year she was fighting, and she was doing it then too. Can't remember who it was now. There was three people.
Okay.
I can't remember who it was for the fucking life of me. It was, I know Asuka was one as well. It's because some wrestlers sell differently, right? Kyrie does this thing where she likes to stay down longer instead of just getting up. She sells differently. Asuka's the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch an Asuka match with most people, she'll sell when she gets a move done to her. She'll sell longer than some others will, and Kyrie's the same way. You look at Kyrie's stuff back in NXT when she fought people like Shayna Baszler, mm-hmm. and people like that. She always stayed down longer, sold moves longer. Like she was the smaller girl, and she's a tiny girl. She's a small girl, so she sells things longer and differently. She sells differently than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But Bianca, like in the last year, she's been coming up against people that do that, and she's very impatient. She doesn't let them sell, so she's trying to force them a lot to get up quicker. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. But she's the one that's taking control of the matches. So I don't feel like it's Kyrie's fault in that match. I feel like it was I'm not going to say miscommunication so much, but I feel like that Bianca was getting frustrated because she wasn't selling the way that she's used to other girls selling.
Yeah, and really from a Kairi perspective, it's like it makes sense for her to sell the way that she sells.
Yeah.
I mean, again, look at Kairi, look at Bianca.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense for her that to stay down longer because of the size difference.
Yeah, but she also sells in a way that she takes a time to get up. She doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch someone else and they take a body slam, they'll sell the body slam. They'll hold their back. They'll kind of do the thing, but then they'll get straight up.
Mm.
Whereas Kairi's a lot smaller, and it makes more sense. Even if she wasn't smaller, you'd stay down a little bit longer. She doesn't just lay there. She just takes longer to get to her feet.
Mm-hmm.
You watch her stuff with Shayna in NXT, and you'll see she does this thing where she'll take a move. And she'll lay there, and then she'll start getting up slowly, and then she'll start to do the firing up thing where she screams. She didn't get a chance to do that because Bianca's on her ass saying to get up, hurry up, hurry up. She's always out of position because she's not where she's supposed to be yet. But it's like, slow down a bit. Take your time. You don't need to rush it. But she did it with Asuka. She did it with Kairi. But I know she did it with someone else. I remember thinking about it the other day, but I've forgotten who it was now. Someone else. But they... Some wrestlers sell slower than others, as in they don't just take a move and then get straight back up. And there's been a bit of a thing about that with Kairi.
Yeah, well, I have seen some X's or Zeets or tweets, whatever you want to call them nowadays, about, oh, it's all Kairi's fault for that match because look at this. She took this move from Sasha wrong when it was the first time that she ever took that move. And it's like, all right, calm down. Yeah, she took that move wrong, but that doesn't mean that what happened on SmackDown was automatically, you know, oh, Kairi's shit. Kairi can't do anything. No, just chill.
Yeah. Right? Well, the Sasha thing too. I don't know because Kairi didn't take it wrong. She just took it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that like the timing was just off. She didn't take it wrong. She did. She took it fine, but it's just that the timing was off. I think Sasha did the move slower, and Kairi thought it was going to be quicker.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's like, oh, it was like, there was tweets about, like, she's always been mid-tier. It's like, seriously? Have you been watching Kairi
They haven't. Because what we all know, everyone that's listening to this, and you know, and I know for a fact, that if you're on social media and you're tweeting, zeeting, Xing, whatever the fuck it's called, if you're doing that and saying stuff to about people, then you haven't watched their stuff, their whole thing, because clearly, you wouldn't be saying stuff like that. You just wouldn't be. People are firing shots at Shotzi for saying that she's too slow, then she's too quick, and then she's reckless, and then she's this. Like, how can she be all those things at once? Just relax. I think it's just people trying to jump on bandwagons and trying to get retweets and likes. To be honest.
And like I didn't see the other side. Maybe there was a whole bunch of hate going towards Bianca, and I didn't see it. So this is the counter, you know. And then that happens a lot of times, you know. One argument comes up, so someone else overcorrects on the other side, and then the other side has to overcorrect again. And it happens so much on so many different issues, but especially at the moment when we're talking about wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. But yeah, so I just noticed that that Kairi was a little bit like, I don't know, she's not used to the WWE style again, and she's got to get back into it. Cause like, you can't really blame one person for it, but like,
I don't Bianca know if was I getting frustrated. Put Kairi out there on a match like this early against Bianca, mostly because like, what is that her? I haven't been watching too much of SmackDown. I didn't watch this week.
Since
that's her first singles match. It just makes her look weird.
The issue is, though, if the issue is, right, so the way the story's going is that if you want to get a shot at Io, you have to go through all of Damage Control. So next week they've booked Charlotte and Asuka. So it's either going to be Kairi and Bianca or Kairi and Charlotte. That's the way it was going to be. And I think that if that were, I was in control of booking, I would have put Kairi with Bianca.
Yeah, I kind of get your point.
I wouldn't have put Kairi and Charlotte together. No chance in hell.
No
chance in hell.
Hells to the nah.
No chance in hell. I think Asuka can carry her own with Charlotte. So, but yeah, I think if it was someone else, maybe if it was Becky or someone, maybe. But like, Charlotte.
Gotta love Kairi's reactions though. It's like she's pretty much stone faced for the most of it, and then she sees Asuka, and she just lights up.
I know, it's cute. It's really cute. I'm looking forward to the time when they split up and Kairi goes solo again, and we get that NXT Kairi run.
Mm-hmm.
On the main roster, which we never got, mind you, ever. We never got it.
No, that's
why a lot of people think that she might be mid and stuff. They didn't watch her NXT stuff. They only seen her in the Kabuki Warriors, and then she left.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's back. She's in the team again. Her solo stuff is her best stuff, especially when she's the underdog face.
Yes.
That's when she's in her prime. So
The matches that her and Shayna had was insane.
Yeah, I think that's where she kind of came into her own against Shayna, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to see both of that back. I'd love to see that match run back. I would love to see current Shayna and Kairi go at it again, because it's just good. It's just good stuff. It's just good stuff. But what else, mate? There's not much else. Randy Orton returned. That was a big thing.
Yeah, I think that was actually pretty good. Like, I liked the video package they had. It just really boosted up the whole Randy Orton's returns and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's fucking huge now, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he's jacked.
He's big.
from what I've heard of his, like, I think it was it on SmackDown or Raw? I can't remember. Or maybe it was on pay-per-view. I can't really remember. But they were talking about he's no longer doing heavy weights, low reps. He's doing light weights and a lot of reps.
Yeah.
Because he's had, multiple injuries and on stuff like that. So that's his new training style.
But he's fucking big anyway. Oh, yeah, whatever he's big.
He's jacked, bro.
He's big. He is big. So to me, I was talking about it to someone else, and to me, I think personally, Randy Orton return is bigger to me than Punk's return.
Well, the way I see it is Punk only wrestled, a couple months ago?
Yeah.
There was talk that Randy was not going to come back.
I know, that's exactly the reason why. So, like, Punk's return is huge, but for me personally, I think Randy's return is bigger because Randy's been out for 18 months. There was talk that he would never wrestle again.
Yeah.
That's someone that I grew up on. Randy Orton, I remember his debut. Yep. That's how long I've been watching Randy.
I remember when we made fun of his name. It was going in Randy.
Yeah, Randy.
He's like, Randy's not going to win the World Heavyweight Championship.
No, he won it. Didn't he ever? Fucking hell. But yeah, I remember his debut, and that's, to me, that's sad when you see, like, when Edge had to retire, that was sad, you know?
Mm.
And it was just like, Randy can't retire. There's no way. Mm-hmm. Randy can't retire yet. And then when it was like, fuck, he actually might.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the return, like, so that to me was bigger, like, personally. Like, the Punk thing is huge because it's like, we didn't think it'd ever happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Punk comeback, that was never going to happen, but he did.
Yeah.
But I always say that, like, it's like Jim Ross used to say at the start of the fucking video games back in the 2000s, anything is possible. So, like, anyone that's left and they're never going to come back, they probably will. Like, let's face it.
I honestly think that is ingrained in my mind, that fucking what you just said. It's like, anything is possible in the World Wrestling Federation.
Exactly. But it's true. It's true. Because you see all these people, like the Ultimate Warrior, Bret Hart, they all left in such bad terms, but they all came back.
Yeah, exactly.
They all came back, so I think eventually most big names will return. So, like, I knew deep down that Punk will probably return at some point.
Oh god, yeah.
But like, Randy was the biggest thing.
I got the fucking old SmackDown song stuck in my head now.
No, not that song.
Because I said that anything can happen in the World Wrestling Federation. It just goes into the intro. Camera 5. The war, 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 war.
Oh, I'm glad you did it and not me.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, so Randy's return was more, on a personal level, bigger because, like, it's Randy and I don't want him to retire. The next big one would be Big E for me. We need Big E back. Just, like...
Yeah, I think if he is to return, he's probably going to have to do what Edge Well, and I don't think Edge did it. No, but Paige did, and Daniel Bryan did. And that was the, I don't know if it's called the float tank or the hyperbolic chamber. It's one of those things that it does something while they're in there. It's able to, you know, help them heal a lot quicker, a lot easier, especially for the injuries that they actually have. I don't know if Big E's is the same that Paige and Daniel Bryan had.
No, because Big E's was legitimately a broken neck.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so he snapped his neck. So, like, it's probably similar in a way, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just hope that he comes back. Like, so that'll be the next big one. But, like, Survivor Series had three returns because you had R-Truth as well. R-Truth's back. R-Truth's in his 50s, dude. He doesn't look like he's in his 50s.
It does not look like he's in his 50s.
Doesn't look like he's in his 50s.
No.
I don't understand it. He's got the fountain of youth, bro. He's found it.
I don't get it. He was in the WWF in 2000.
I know.
That's like 20 years ago.
I know. It's 23 years ago when he was there.
Oh, my. Yeah, well, I only remember seeing him once, and it was at that one pay-per-view, because I didn't really watch Raw or SmackDown. I didn't have the access to watch Raw and SmackDown at that time. But, yeah, I saw him on the team up with Road Dogg that one time, and it's like,
that's okay. What he did. He was just in a team with Road Dogg, and then he left. And then he went, where did he go?
I don't know, but he did eventually show up in TNA.
Yeah, but that was years later, because TNA wasn't around then.
No, it was like 2004, 2005, I think they started up.
Yeah, and he wasn't even there then, I don't think.
No,
it was later on.
Not when they first started.
Yeah, I don't know. Weird.
Anyway, so
fucking going on a bit of a tangent. Where did R-Truth go after he left? We should do a whole episode on R-Truth.
Oh, I think I know where he went. The WWA.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he was in that fucking. Remember the first tour was Australia.
Oh yeah, I do remember that.
I think that's where he went. Oh, poor bugger.
Shit, that's not good. That's not good at all.
Oh yeah, that's like fucking Jeff Jarrett, Sting, fucking a whole bunch of old guys,
and there's R-Truth chilling. Yeah. I like R-Truth. I think the segment on Raw with the jelly rolls was good.
Yeah.
That's good. There's jam all over the couch. Finn Balor was funny in that. I'm going to have to clean the couch.
Oh, dear.
Well, that's funny. It's so fucking good. I think that's really it on wrestling news, really.
I think that was pretty much everything from Survivor Series. I can't really remember much more from Survivor Series.
There wasn't too many matches booked because the War Games matches go for like an hour each.
Yeah, exactly.
There's two hours of the show gone there, so there wasn't too much. What else was there booked on that show? I know there was Miz Gunter.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Rhea and Zoe Stark.
Oh yeah,
Rhea and Zoe Stark. The match was good, but like, wasn't anything.
The match was good, but no.
It's a good match though.
Dragon Lee and Santos. No, was it Dragon Lee? Yeah, it was Dragon Lee and Santos Escobar.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that match, Dragon Lee didn't do a lot.
Yeah, well, I think it originally was supposed. From what I remember, the booking of it was supposed to be like the on the pre-show.
No, but they switched it because it was going to be Carlito, and then for some reason they switched it. I don't know if Carlito's legitimately injured and they have to switch it or something. For some reason they switched it. They switched it on SmackDown. Mm. They did an attack angle and he was out, so Dragon Lee replaced him. But no, well, I don't think it was ever supposed to be on the pre-show. They just had that because that match was always booked for Survivor Series. But then Nick Aldis in a promo on SmackDown was like, I'm going to cancel the match. And then Dragon Lee interrupted him and said, no, let me have him. So that's what they did. So
yeah.
But the match itself was good. But I feel like Dragon Lee did a lot. Like, it could have been more. Mm-hmm. But I guess they're kind of portraying that Santos is that kind of next level heel.
Yeah.
They need to kind of put him over in that way. But I feel like they will definitely face again. Well, they are set to face again next week on SmackDown because they've got the tournament for the US title.
Yeah.
So they're going to face again. So that's maybe we'll get more out of that then. But I think, I don't know.
Fucking him on. Oh, God. I don't know what it is. Logan on commentary.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just it was sort of painful to listen to it at points. And then it just started with the fat jokes for Kevin Owens.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Like, oh, my God. Really? This is what they're going to be the crux. This is going to be the crux of the rivalry, right? Kevin Owens and Logan Paul, and it's just fat jokes. It's like, oh, my God, you come on, guys.
Yeah, but, okay, I agree with you. But what was more painful, listening to him on commentary or Dominic Mysterio on NXT when Vic Joseph was trying to get him to talk and he just didn't talk?
Yeah, I've got to agree. Yeah,
that was bad. Like, at least Logan was actually speaking and was there and was in the moment.
Fucking Dominic was just... He didn't speak. I don't know.
He barely spoke. Vic was trying to get him to talk, and a lot of the time he just didn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't respond. He was just like, just didn't answer the question. He was just there, mm-hmm. like, sitting there. I mean, he'd say random things and then just go quiet again. Like, was just, he definitely isn't confident in the speaking part yet, even with the boos and stuff, when he does his little things. That kind of covers it.
I think he's right when he's with people on his side. You know, he had his father. He's had Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
On his own, however, I don't feel he's comfortable in that environment yet.
Yeah, well, even with Judgment Day, the whole booing loudly kind of helps him because they just boo over the top of him anyway, so it doesn't matter if he's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, yeah, on NXT, he barely fucking spoke. I was like, dude, is this guy even on commentary? or is he just sat there without the headset on? But no, he had the headset, and he said random things. The things he did say were quite good, though. Things when he did speak, it was decent, but, like, he just didn't speak much.
Yeah.
It's like Vic was trying, man. He was trying to get blood from a stone. It's just like trying to get him to say stuff. Like, who would you prefer to face? There's nothing, no response. Okay.
I think he did eventually answer that, but he didn't at the same time. I can't remember how he like got through that conversation, but it was like, it was strange. It was very strange.
He was trying to get him talking. He just wouldn't speak.
I mean, well, there's as much else that actually happened on Raw. Oh, there was the Cody promo.
Oh, yeah, the Cody promo.
So yeah, Cody promo was saying something about, like, I think he mentioned Punk and it's like, welcome home. And Dave Meltzer has taken the promo that Cody did and somehow twisted it to mean that, oh, when he said this, he secretly said fuck you to Punk. And when he said this, he was secretly saying, I support the Young Bucks. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's stupid.
I think it was Dave Meltzer anyway.
Yeah, I think it was.
He said it on a podcast or an interview or something. And I'm like, how did it? What? I've heard of reaching before, but my God.
Yeah. I know. It's like trying to make stories out of nothing.
I don't mean any beef with the guy, but we're a smaller podcast. It doesn't really matter. But
Yes, you do. You mean all the beef.
It's just, has he lost, like, all credibility?
I don't think he ever had any, did he?
Yeah, but what credibility he had in the past, I feel he's completely lost.
Oh, like, he lost it ages ago when he
in the magazine days, when magazines were still a thing, he was still, you know, not the king, but at least somewhat informative, somewhat, you know, transparent, you know, reasonable, logical. Ever since, I don't want to say it, but ever since AEW come around, it's been very one-sided.
You're incorrect, mate. You know? It's New Japan. It's when New he started Japan? Doing it.
Okay, yeah.
It was when the Ring of Honor guys started coming
out. Oh, yeah, the six-star match that fucking Kevin Omega had.
Yeah. Six stars,
I forgot about that.
Yeah,
I absolutely forgot about that.
It was those days. It was when all the Ring of Honor guys came across
New Japan. Everything that comes out of his mouth is absolute dog shit. It's like, oh, my God, what are you even fucking saying?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
You're either reaching or you're absolutely and utterly delusional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's both, right?
Sorry to go on a tangent, but it's just like, oh my God, are people listening allegedly. To this guy? Allegedly.
Allegedly. NXT, that main event, that Fatal 4-Way was incredible.
Oh, my God, that was insane.
I actually had my fun watching that match.
Oh, my God.
I think Bronson Reed is in his element when he's in there with smaller guys that are like quick like that, because he can just do shit with them, and like it's just good. Mm-hmm. I like the way that he sells for them. He doesn't sell for ages, and then when he does, he does. Like, it's good. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it a lot.
You're hit the balls. Oh, my God.
I know. That was funny. Even that the reaction, was good.
The
yeah,
facial
that was
expression
yeah.
was perfect.
Yeah, it was great. Even Dom's reaction at ringside was, like, the same thing. It was, like, really good. Like, yeah. Everyone's reaction to it was actually really mm-hmm. good. It was just good. The whole match was good. Incredible. Mm-hmm. I think Cameron Grimes is, like, a guy that people sleep on too much.
Oh, absolutely.
Think that he could definitely be more than he is.
He doesn't look like a guy that does that moonsault slam thing. I don't even know what it's called, but it doesn't look like a guy that can do it, but he does.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know.
What'd you call it? I don't even know what you call it, man.
It has got a name. I can't think what you called it.
It looks like a backflip power slam looking
thing. It is. It's a moonsault. It's a moonsault power slam, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a name. I can't think. It's like Collision or something. The Collision, or something like that. It's got something named like that. But no, it was a good match. I enjoyed that. I think that Wesley obviously was going to win it. Right? Oh, everyone knew it, so they knew they had to go all out with the match. So make the match and entertaining. They revisited the spot that like put Ricochet on the shelf with Cameron. Was it Cameron Grimes? Who was on the ropes? Was it Grimes or was it Wes Lee? I think it was Wes Lee was on the top of the, on like draped across the ropes, and then
I think so.
Bronson Reed did the slingshot thing, jumped on the ropes and just bounced him off. Yeah, they redid that, but this time it wasn't into a Hurricane Rana, it was just into a Collision.
Yeah.
So it's good, great match, insane, and then Ivar coming out like that was cool. I can't wait for them two to fight again. Bronson Reed and Ivar is always a nasty match, which is in a good way. So it's good. It's good.
I'm kind of honestly looking forward to Deadline.
I am too. I think Deadline's going to be actually really good. I mean, I'm interested to see who the final two are going to be,
because
they've got the last chance matches.
Yeah.
I don't think Roxanne and Kiana will go in because they're both beefing. They'll probably face each other.
Yeah.
Is it going to be Fallon Henley, or is it going to be Thea? That's the question for the women. For the men, I don't even remember who's in it.
No,
I don't think Carmelo
sure.
will win. I think Carmelo will face Lexus King. Don't think he'll be in it. I can't remember who else is in that. Or qualifying last chance one. Fuck.
No, I don't know who's in the qualifying.
I can't remember. Sorry guys, you guys can look it up.
I know Bron Breakker's in the match. I don't know. Yeah. I think he's already qualified.
Wait, so who did Bron Breakker beat again on this week's?
Oh shit. Who did he beat?
Can't think who it was. I just watched it. I just watched it the other day. Who the fuck did he beat?
Eddie Thorpe.
Yeah, Eddie Thorpe. So Eddie Thorpe is in the match, in the thing, second chance. I can't think of who the other ones are. Anyway, it'd be interesting to see who goes in. I think it could be Fallon Henley, but realistically, I think it might be Thea Hale.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like Thea Hale and JC Jane might feud soon.
Yeah.
Because if you watch that... if you watch the press conference, if you notice JC Jane's like body language when he was speaking about stuff, when Andre Chase was saying stuff, like it's obvious that she has something to do with it. So maybe once that comes to light, maybe Thea will be like, "What the fuck? I brought you in, and this is what you've done." So I feel like they will feud soon too.
JC's corrupted Andre.
I think that she's done stuff, definitely. She's definitely done stuff. She's definitely done something. It'd be weird if there's no sexual allegations, because it's literally kind of what they're going with is like a faculty, a school, and they've got allegations against them and stuff. It'd be weird if they didn't do it.
Yeah, but they're done with the whole, you know, unappropriated funds used. Funds used in an inappropriate manner.
Yeah. For gambling and stuff, yeah. But I'm saying her body language is she was definitely behind it in some way, shape, or form. She's definitely in on it. So we'll see where that goes. But that's not going to come to resolution by next week.
No.
So they're not going to have them two fights yet. So Thea Hale might be in it just because of namesake. She's actually mm-hmm. someone like it's going to be that could be in that match. Yes. So I feel like that she'll probably be the one that qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's some kind of beef going on and she gets distracted or something. I don't know. But I don't think mm-hmm. Roxanne will get in the match.
No.
I think she'll get probably they'll fight on the outside, go to the back. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I think we covered it, everything.
Well, Randy is officially a SmackDown superstar.
Oh, yeah, Randy signed. Yeah, on that RKO, Nick Aldis was great, by the way. That's his first bump in WWE. He's an RKO. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, huh?
That's great.
Cena always telling him, Cena tweeted to him, you got to watch out for it.
Yeah, you got to watch out for man. It can be any time.
And then he tweeted, it literally is out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really is. He didn't expect it. Felt good. I like that. I like them both being there. It kind of gave me the vibes of Batista.
Yeah, it did give vibes of that era.
Yeah, and he was picking which one to sign. Like, yeah,
which show am I going to go to?
He had both contracts and they only threw one. Yeah, it was good. Mm-hmm. It was good. Mm-hmm. So that just kind of shows we're going to get Randy and Roman at the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
That's the direction they're going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Obviously, Randy won't win, but we'll get Randy and Roman in the Rumble. At the Rumble. I'm hoping that, like, it'd be weird that Randy's not going to be in a Rumble, though, but with him there. Like, he's normally in the Rumbles. It's going to be weird that he's not going to be in the Rumble. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that's about it, though, I think.
Mm-hmm. They're still keeping LA Knight involved with the Bloodline, keeping him in that main event scene. Yeah, I think it's a good way forward for him.
I think that we're going to get a LA Knight Solo Sikoa singles match at some point. Maybe not at Rumble, but at some point we'll get that match.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even at Mania, we'll get that match.
Yeah, maybe.
Solo and LA Knight. I think that's
pretty much... There wasn't really anything else noteworthy from SmackDown. I mean, you had fucking Santos Escobar go up against his former teammate. I can't remember the guy's name. I'm terrible with their names. Those two. I can't remember those two. What was it Joaquin Phoenix?
Joaquin Wilde. Joaquin Phoenix, the actor, dude.
What am I thinking?
Joaquin Phoenix and Santos Escobar being incredible, by the way.
This is the similar thing I used to do with Candace. Oh, shit, I'm doing it again.
Who are you trying to say? Candace who?
Del Rey.
What's the name you get wrong?
Del Rey.
Del Rey. Right.
Yeah, Candace Del Rey.
That's right, you did too. You did as well.
I'm doing the same thing.
There was someone else used to do it too. Someone else used to do it too as well. I can't remember who it was, but you saw
the name. I thought it was Candace.
No, there was someone else before that. There was someone else before that. I can't remember who it is now, but there was someone else. He was just to say it wrong. But yeah, no, Joaquin Wilde. He showed out a bit though. He did some stuff in that match that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like he did well. He did well.
Use
that time to spotlight his abilities. You know something interesting about him? Before he got into wrestling, he is the one that designed the Ring of Honor logo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, and because of that, he won tickets to the show for life. He's got lifetime tickets to Ring of Honor.
Oh, Jesus.
Then he eventually became a wrestler, and he got signed to Ring of Honor. So, yeah, he's the one that came up with that logo, the one they still use today.
Damn.
He's the one that came up with it. He designed it. And he won a contest to do it. So that's kind of cool. He's got wrestling royalty in him. Because he did that. He's the one that did that. So that's kind of cool. Yeah, there's a little unknown fact about him. One more thing, wrestling related. Who do you think will be the NXT person in the tournament for Logan Paul's title, the US title? I don't know who it's going to be. I've got an idea, but it doesn't make sense. I've got an idea, but I want to see who you think first.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, nothing's really shouting out at me at the moment when it comes to it.
Channing Stacks Lorenzo.
Oh, really? That's weird. Jesus.
It's weird, but on NXT, they mentioned that he tweeted stuff about Logan Paul.
Oh, okay.
So, like, why would he do that? Why would he do that?
Hmm.
if he wasn't going to be in a match with him? Why would he just randomly tweet about Logan Paul saying how shit Logan Paul is as a champion in the way that he carries himself?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that,
but it doesn't make sense that it's him. Like, I wouldn't think that's him, a tag guy.
Yeah.
He's got tag titles. Like, it doesn't make sense. But at the same time,
there's a part of me that wants to think Wes Lee, but you know, he loses the match at Deadline and he goes to the main roster. But, yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it'll be a main roster call.
No, you're probably right.
It'll just be a one-off.
Yeah.
They won't win it anyway. Although there is that angle that they're going on with now that Kevin Owens has got a broken hand and that he won't be in the tournament.
Mm.
So maybe Kevin Owens won't get the match yet. Maybe they're going to hold off on it.
Yeah, maybe.
And it'll be someone else. But I think that Logan will definitely defend the title at the Rumble, but he's also been advertised to be defending the title at Elimination Chamber.
Mm.
So he's going to defend the title three pay-per-views, PLEs, in a row.
Yeah.
Because Rumble, Elimination Chamber, and then he definitely will defend it at Mania. He can't not. So it'll be three in a row. So, like, because he's advertised. Unless they don't do it at Rumble, but it seems weird that they're starting with the tournament now.
Yeah.
To not do it at Rumble. So I think they're going to be probably defend it. So Kevin Owens might not win. He might not even be in it.
No.
Being taken out of it, and then he'll be in it. He won't be in it, but he'll get the shot at Perth Elimination Chamber. So I don't know, maybe not, but they're doing the angle. There's the whole broken hand thing. So
yeah,
they did say WWE.com did say that he's not in the tournament. He's not cleared. So who knows? He might still show up and say fuck it, I'm going to fight through the pain type thing.
Yeah.
But WWE.com did say he's got a broken hand. And that he's not no longer in the tournament. So that's what they said. So go from there, I guess. But who knows? So maybe he won't be the one to win it. Maybe the NXT person will win it and get a shot. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
It won't be Santos. It won't be. There's a lot of people in that it won't be. So it's just kind of like trying to figure out who would be if it wasn't Kevin Owens. Anyway, I think that's about it. Do we have any gaming news? Anything you want to talk about? I actually have some gaming news.
There's a very little. Like, I haven't seen something it
for the first
time. But there was the.
Don't you say it. Don't you steal it. It's the only thing I've got.
Oh, well, okay, you go first then.
All I'm gonna say is there was a little teaser at the end of the Quan Chi trailer.
Yeah, I was just going to say
for Mortal Kombat trailer. There's a little teaser at the end, and it confirms that Peacemaker is indeed voiced by John Cena.
Thank fuck for that.
It is indeed. There's a little thing at the end where he speaks, and it is definitely him.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely
him. Good to see. That's good to see.
So it's actually voiced by John Cena. So that's all I have, but there's something.
Okay. Yeah, there was that trailer for Quan Chi. I think there was some show off of the cameo Chameleon.
She looks fun.
Oh yeah, she does. Like, she got a mixture of like Melina, Katana, and of course Jade, and everyone's losing their mind because Jade's not in the game, and they're worried that Jade's not going to be in the game now.
Yeah, true. Well, Melina and Katana are. So
I mean,
why couldn't she be?
I'll put it down to when it comes to this game, I don't think it's going to go the 5 years that they wanted to.
The last one was supposed to go for 5 years, didn't it?
It didn't really. Again, like, do a quick rundown. For me personally, I think Injustice 2 was quite possibly my favorite fighting game.
Yeah, I think so too. For me, I spent a lot of hours on that game.
We played Mortal Kombat. Then we went to Mortal Kombat 11. I felt that we've lost a few features and I thought it was a downstep. But Mortal Kombat 11 was overall good.
Yeah.
But I felt it was a downstep from Injustice 2. And now I feel that Mortal Kombat 1 is a downstep from Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah,
there's good stuff in Mortal Kombat 1, but I just feel like it's a complete downstep.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It's like one step forward, three steps back. We would do that.
Yeah, game. Yeah. It just feels like just a lot of lost mechanics. You just don't feel the need to, like, gear is fucking minimal,
and kind of pointless. Really, it doesn't do anything.
You know, where at least with both Mortal Kombat 11 and Well, not so much Mortal Kombat 11, but in Injustice, you know, you leveled up your gear. It made your character stronger. There was more RPG elements to the gear for more powerful things. It made certain attacks do more things. There was just certain elements. Even in Mortal Kombat 11, you didn't level up, but you had to level up. You did have to level up so you could use the gear. And then within that, you could add things to that gear to make certain things more impactful and powerful. And in this one, they've all got one gear piece each, which, hey, I understand, like, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to try and get three gear pieces for each person. But it essentially, it's a look cool. But other than that, it doesn't really do much. And there's a lot of content, but there's also not a lot of content, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We seem to be getting a lot, but at the same time, we used to do the towers, and the towers, you'd get a gear piece. It'd be for a character. You'd get, all three pieces, for Injustice. You get all three pieces, even for Mortal Kombat 11, to do the same thing. You get all three pieces as you finished, and it had that. Here, the closest we got to towers is the hourly, daily ones, and you get the in-game currency. I can't remember what it's called. You get some coins. And recently, I done an hour tower just for the fuck, just to kill some time, and I got one of the keys, ordinary keys. The problem I'm finding with that is, seeing that I've opened all the chests, this is completely useless to me. And by next season, the stuff that I've got from this season is going to be gone again.
Yeah.
So the key is completely pointless to me.
Yeah, exactly. And the coins are pointless too, because you can't open the chest, the shrine.
By the end of it, we're going to have a million fucking coins.
Yeah, because you can't open the shrine, because you can only open it a certain amount of times.
Certain amount of times. That's all you get for this season. Check back in 30 days, basically, for the next season. And it's like, well, what's the fucking point of accumulating coins? Before today, I haven't played it in like 2 weeks.
I haven't played it. It's been in about 3 weeks or maybe 4 weeks.
And they want this to last 5 years.
Yeah. I think the hardcore players will probably play it that long, but
absolutely. I'm sure
the casuals won't.
I'm not an online player. I'll play it here and there. But for the most part, I'm not an online player. It's just the way it is. So it's just nothing really for me. I'm just like, I'll come back to it in 10 days. I think there's 10 days from the moment of recording this for the next season, which will be Sub-Zero. We'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, that could be cool. I've done like
that was a good pun.
Two messes of the new season, and just haven't done anymore.
I actually, you know what, with the new messer, I actually decided to try and use Natara, and she's actually not bad to use.
Every character is not bad to use if you get used to them. And but it has to suit your playstyle. That's the issue.
Absolutely.
It has to suit your playstyle. So that's why people are like, this person's shit. Like, well, not really. Just that doesn't suit the way that you play.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel like you also got to have the right cameo. You got to have the right cameo with your playstyle and with that character.
Yeah, trying to find that balance, yeah.
Yeah, and also there was, originally, what is today's date?
I actually don't know.
Really, really quick. Well, it's the 5th here because it only... We're 12:48 right now, so it is the 5th of December. But it was advertised on Rockstar's official Twitter that they were going to release a trailer on the 5th of December for GTA 6. Since then we've had some leaked footage from the son of a programmer, well as I think I've seen another trailer that was leaked, and that looks official. So I'm going to say that it probably is official. I'm not going to 100% tell you that it is, but it definitely looks official. Trailer looks interesting. Looks like we're going back to Vice City for GTA 6. It is going to be called GTA 6. Yeah. Looks like it's going to be Vice City, and looks like it's going to be a swap over between a male and female protagonist.
Yeah, that was always...
Going by that trailer that I saw.
That was one of the things that was like kind of rumoured and leaked before, that it's a male and female. But it did say that in other leaks that it was like different cities you could travel to. It wasn't just one map.
There was that. There was that. At least, there might still be that, and we start in Vice City.
Yeah. That's cool. Hopefully it comes out soon, like next year soon, and not like the rumored 2027.
Yeah. There's been things on. Oh, I do not like the look of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
No, I do not like the look. It looks like one of those. What do you call them? Live services type games.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It looks like one of them. Yeah, and Rockstar, I wasn't expecting. No, sorry, not Rockstar. Rocksteady. I was not expecting them to have that game like that. I was expecting a more story-driven type game. So it's going to be interesting on how that works. I'll probably give it a go if it comes on Game Pass, but I don't really feel the need to actually buy that game, just from what I've seen.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Not really much else. Still not too. I think there was a game. Was there a gameplay trailer or a cinematic trailer of Metal Gear Solid Delta?
I think there was definitely
weeks ago.
There was a trailer. I didn't watch it, but there was a trailer.
I think there was at least a trailer for it. I don't think it was another just, you know, oh, go through the jungle when it's not actual gameplay, in-game footage. I think there was actually some in-game footage this time. Actually, there was. There was gameplay footage. Sorry, there was gameplay footage.
Well, that's good.
So there's definitely, like, it's weird how they've gone from, they went from their own in-game engine, which they used for Metal Gear Solid 5 and the fucking whatever that other fucking piece of shit thing they made. Sorry, Konami, but that other game you made was shit. It was terrible. That game, you had to pay for another save slot.
Yeah, well, that's the first.
Yeah, it was fucked. That was fucked. That was a while ago now, though. But, they went from that to using Unreal Engine 5, I believe. It does look pretty good, but I thought they would have went with their own in-house engine, but they've gone with Unreal Engine 5. So we'll see. It does look pretty good, so it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
What else is there? There's not really that much else that I can think of.
No, I think it's about it. I think we've touched on everything we wanted to touch on.
Yeah.
I think that's really it.
Nothing else has really come into mind, guys.
No. I think that's about it. All right, well, then we'll just leave it there.
Yeah, I think
We'll come back at you probably, I reckon, realistically, guys, after Rumble.
Is when what should we say? Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Yeah. And all of that stuff. No, you got to say Happy Holidays because people don't. Some people don't.
I forgot about that. Celebrate because otherwise, I have to say Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. What's the other one?
Don't do that.
I can't remember what the other ones are. There's Kwanzaa. There's another one.
Anyway, guys.
Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays for two Australian guys who are just completely clueless. Hopefully you guys have a great end of your year. And we'll come back at you in the new year, and we will have a massive, massive new year episode after the Rumble, and we'll talk about the winners of the Rumble, and I'm going to predict them now. I'm going to go out on the limb and say it's going to be Punk and it's going to be Bayley. They're my two winners.
I'm going to say Cody and a real offshoot, what the fuck, where does this come from, Sasha Banks.
That's a what the hell? What the fuck? That is a what the hell. No, she's not even there. How could she win it? She's not even there. That is a weird one. All right. We'll see. We should write those down so we don't forget, and then we'll see how right or wrong we are. We're both completely wrong, and it'll be completely different people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 100%. It definitely won't be yours.
No, probably not.
Maybe if there's a
But if I call chance, it, if I call it, I am going to brag like a motherfucker.
I know. You'll fucking break the internet if you fucking call it. On the 5th of December, he called Sasha Banks, not only returns, but wins it. Jesus. All right, guys, thanks for listening. And, we'll see you in about a month's time.
All right, see you guys.
Peace.